It is difficult to see ourselves as we are. Sometimes we are fortunate enough to have good friends, lovers, or others who will do us the good service of telling us the truth about ourselves. When we don't, we can so easily delude ourselves, lose a sense of truth about ourselves, and our conscience loses power and purpose. Mostly we tell ourselves what we would like to hear. We lose our way. And this week's opening quote comes from John Katz. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, here I am still in Hawaii, folks. I've just completed a week of Kumbo workshops and done a little bit of a tour of the island. Quite an amazing place. We went up and visited the volcano the other day, had a bit of an offering to Pele, the volcano goddess of the island. Absolutely amazing place, folks. Incredible lava lake, like really spectacular stuff, you know, bubbling lava splashing 15 or 20 feet high in the middle of this lava lake. Absolutely spectacular landscape around it. Lots and lots of lava, of course. Very blackened landscape. A lot of it looks like Mordor, simply acres and upon acres of black rock everywhere from old lava flows. Absolutely incredible place. Also went out and had a bit of a commune with the whales out in the ocean, which was quite spectacular. Beautiful creatures out there splashing around off the coast of the Big Island. It was an absolutely wonderful couple of days. And it's been really good to spend a couple of weeks here just meeting people and greeting people and having some constructive conversations and getting to see the island a little bit. And I'm here for another 3 weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. I should actually be able to get some relaxation time in, which is a rare thing for me. But it has been really good being here, and I'd like to send out a bit of a shout to the people that have been here and shared this space with me. Samuel, Philomena, Ryan, Miley, Jason and Jason, Leia, and of course Michael and Jillian, who run the place that I'm staying at. It really has been a wonderful week with all of these people here on the Big Island in Hawaii. And it's just been great to see people wanting to participate in jungle medicines. It's a good thing to see people having these realizations of the benefits that can come by using jungle medicines. They really have made a remarkable difference in my life, and they have in the lives of everybody that I know who has gone down that path. Most of the people here at the workshop, it was their very first time trying any jungle medicines, and it was remarkable that they chose Kumbo as their first medicine to form a relationship with, because Kumbo is in fact quite a intense medicine. You don't get the visuals, or very often you don't get the visual stimulation that you do with other plant medicines such as ayahuasca. Very often Kumbo is quite an uncomfortable experience for people. Though there was one person in the group who did have quite a visual experience, which was quite amazing to see. And it was interesting that two people who participated in the Kumbo ceremony actually had their eyes change colour during the ceremony. And not just during the ceremony, folks, their eyes actually changed colour and they stayed that colour. And this is quite remarkable, and this shows an incredible amount of removal of toxins from people's body. And it was wonderful to witness this sort of stuff and wonderful to share in the experience with people, and a great honour that people would have chosen to come and share their first jungle medicine experience with me. And admittedly, jungle medicines may not be for everybody. And there are some people who have had quite a hard time after participating in jungle medicines, in as much as there are many people who have had a great deal of difficulty reintegrating back into society after coming and spending time in the Amazon and drinking ayahuasca. And really this isn't surprising, folks. I mean, when you drink ayahuasca and when you reconnect with the earth in the jungle, it is quite a profound experience. It really is. And it becomes very difficult for people to re-enter the matrix after experiencing such a journey. I've had people say to me, well, ayahuasca doesn't seem to affect people very well. I've seen a lot of people have very, very difficult lives after drinking ayahuasca, and so I don't believe this medicine is good. And I've asked them what has been difficult about these people's lives, and I've said it's the reintegration back into society. Many people become very uncomfortable living in the social constructs that we have constructed for ourselves after drinking the medicine. And this is no surprise, folks. It really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. As Judy Krishnamurti once said, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And that's what people discover once they drink ayahuasca. They go back to New York or wherever they're going back to, LA, London, wherever it is, and they realize just how detrimental the society is that they live in and how anti-life and anti-human our societies have become. And they really have, folks, in every possible way that you can imagine. There are so many things about Western civilization which are designed to disconnect and dehumanize people. Just the fact that we're all packed into these concentrated pockets of civilization is bad enough, but then you look at all the stuff that's done to us in the meantime, the electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in, the social standards that we are forced to adhere to, the education we're subject to, and more recently, even the advent of things such as social media, which is designed to very much disconnect us. And it's quite insidious the way this works, folks. It kind of works to emotionally disconnect us. You know, when you receive likes on Facebook or YouTube or any of these other social media platforms, it actually releases dopamine in your brain. And when you don't receive likes, it has the opposite effect and actually causes depression. There's been studies that have proven this to be true. And there are many people who measure their lives by the amount of likes they receive on Facebook and Instagram. And it's very, very debilitating for the human condition and is causing widespread trauma in young people around the world. The kids are really feeling this, folks. It's really becoming a thing for them and it's really affecting their lives. And this is just one of the methods that is used to disconnect us from ourselves. Along with the smart grid, our mobile phones, all of this AI grid that we are surrounded by, all of this stuff has incredibly detrimental effects on the human psyche. And plant medicine often awakens people to the reality that they're living in, and that is why they do have such an incredibly difficult time reintegrating back into society. The amount of people who do return trips to the ayahuasca retreats and the amount of people who want to volunteer to come and work there as well shows just how much people want to get out of society. And once people do have this connection, I mean, this is why a lot of people want to go back and work at these retreats, because they see the need for people to experience this medicine, to reconnect with the earth, because the danger of them not reconnecting with the earth is really profound. I mean, we are destroying our habitat, folks, and plant medicines can often alert people to this fact, and they can often rediscover the connection they have to the earth and want to do something about it. You know, many people who drink ayahuasca and experience jungle medicines, other jungle medicines as well, such as San Pedro, Huachuma, Iboga, all sorts of things that people do experience, it often very much reconnects them to the earth and reconnects them to their true self, and they see the utter detriment of continuing to participate in the social systems that we live in, and that is why a lot of people have a hard time reintegrating. So it's not really the medicines, folks. It's just the fact that people wake up to the fact that reality is not what it should be and that they've been scammed for their whole life. I mean, this can happen to people simply from smoking weed as well. If they haven't smoked before, they can get a full download and have a look around them and go, oh my God, what am I swimming in, and want to change the world. So whether this is detrimental or whether it's beneficial, I would suggest that observation is one for you to decide upon yourself, but really my observations indicate that these medicines are highly beneficial for people to experience, because I really don't think society is beneficial. Really looking at the world today, folks, I don't think it's really done a great deal of good for the earth, and I don't think it's done a great deal of good for the human condition. In fact, I think we could come up with something far better than the social systems we've constructed for ourselves, or that we've allowed to be constructed anyway. And ayahuasca and plant medicines can help wake people up to this reality. So I think that's a good thing. Another reason is that we are fast losing the Amazon rainforest, folks. And that's one of the reasons that the shaman have actually come out of the forest to bring these medicines to people, because they understand that Western culture is quite literally destroying the habitat that we live in. And if they do not alert Westerners to the fact that this medicine exists, then we may well lose this medicine. And that would be a great tragedy, folks, if we lost some of the incredible plant medicines that are available in the jungle just through our own negligence. Because if we do lose touch with these medicines, we are very, very unlikely to ever rediscover them. I mean, the way these medicines have been discovered over the centuries by the people who live in the forest is really quite remarkable when you hear their stories. And it's very unlikely that we will go down that path again and ever rediscover these things if they are lost. And so it's very, very important that people learn this way and learn the other cultures that exist in this world. I mean, Western culture really is not the be-all and end-all, folks. I mean, just because we have technology and we have big TVs and mobile phones and all the benefits we have that go with this technology does not mean that our society has the answer to everything. Indeed, some of the answers are found in the old ways, and we are in a great deal of danger of losing these old ways forever. And it's very important that people pay attention to this. Well, I think it is anyway. And so do the people in the jungle, which, as I said, is why they have come forth and brought these medicines to the world. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with ayahuasca, it's a potion that is created by mixing two plants, the kapi vine or soul vine and the shakuna tree. The shakuna tree, the leaves of the shakuna tree hold reasonable quantities of DMT. And folks, DMT, dimethyltryptamine, is a substance which is naturally occurring in the body. They believe it is produced in the spine and it is distributed around your body via the pineal gland. We are supposed to have a lot more active in our body than what we do have, but it is active in our body anyway. If we didn't have DMT active in our body, we wouldn't dream, we wouldn't be able to see in color. It is something that we use all the time. The problem is that we are supposed to have a lot more active than what we do have. And this is due to our pineal gland becoming calcified very early in our life, generally due to fluoride and the many toxins that we're fed through our diet. The processed diet that we're fed in Western cultures is very, very detrimental to any type of spiritual or emotional growth in the species, and I'm sure that's why they do it. But dimethyltryptamine, DMT, is a naturally occurring substance, and this is what is found in vast abundance in the leaves of the shakuna tree. It's found in other plants as well, such as acacia in Australia, but in the jungle in the Amazon, it is the shakuna tree where they find the DMT, and that is what is used in the preparation of the ayahuasca brew. And the other ingredient that I mentioned is the kapi vine, and the kapi or soul vine contains an MOI inhibitor, which allows the DMT to work in your body and last longer than 5 or 10 minutes, the way it does when people consume DMT on its own. It's quite remarkable that they would have found these two plants and known to mix them together. There's also a female spirit that lives in the kapi vine, and people may say, oh, this is just voodoo nonsense, but it's not, folks, it's true. There is a female spirit that inhabits the kapi vine, which will guide you through the ceremonial process. And it's quite a remarkable thing that they discovered this medicine, and it's quite remarkable the visions and the insights that you can have from taking this medicine. What it does is it actually brings your pineal gland online and allows you to see outside visible light and very often to see into the spirit realm where you can commune with your ancestors and all sorts of other beings that are around the place. And again, folks, this may sound strange, but this is just the way it works. You know, we are experiencing such a small bandwidth of reality, and we are able to experience a great deal more of it when we consume medicines such as ayahuasca. And that is one of the benefits of consuming this medicine, or visiting with this medicine, should I say. You really can receive a lot of not only physical, but also spiritual and emotional healing. You can find a lot of healing from a lot of baggage you've been carrying throughout your life, even ancestral baggage that you may be carrying from stuff that your parents and grandparents were carrying around. You can find healing for a lot of this and closure for a lot of things in your life where you've perhaps felt that you were harmed in some way, or perhaps you went wrong in some way. It's very, very revealing, and it's certainly good at revealing the inner parts of your personality to yourself as well. You know, it peels away the layers of your personality like an onion and shows you the real you that exists beneath the surface, very often the you that you don't want to look at and refuse to see. It can show you the shadow that exists within yourself, which helps you understand why this shadow exists in others and what steps need to be taken to heal this shadow as it has so manifest in the world today. And that's very beneficial, folks. These sorts of things are very liberating and very revealing, and they can give you the tools that you need to be able to navigate this life and navigate this world with some degree of confidence. And it can very much help you understand the enemies that you are working against as well, and what sort of forces are influencing you in your life, and what sort of forces you are allowing to influence you in your life, what sort of things you can do to improve your life, what sort of steps you can take to perhaps change the type of lifestyle you're living, not to let these forces in. You know, you find that most of the damage that we experience in our lives and most of the difficulties we experience in our lives are in fact things we bring on ourselves simply by the way we interact with the field and the way we interact with the world that we live in. I mean, sure, there are people who are simply born into bad situations, but for most people, you know, we do really have the world at our fingertips to do what we want with, and it's our mistaken views of ourselves that very often hold us back. It's the way we perceive ourselves. We don't really look at ourselves properly, and we are often not particularly honest with ourselves. Very often we are our own worst enemies, and we are what is holding us back in everything we are attempting to achieve in this world. And ayahuasca can very much help with removing these blockages from people, and that's a very good thing. And as I said earlier, the spirit of the ayahuasca vine is actually a female spirit. Ayahuasca is considered to be the head of the female pantheon of plant spirits that exist in the forest. There are other spirits as well, which are male spirits. There's female and male, of course. And these plant spirits are all considered to be allies and spirits that will guide you through your life, guide you through your spiritual journey. Again, it's not the be-all and end-all. I mean, you don't just receive a massive amount of healing from drinking ayahuasca. It's how you apply the information to your life, as with everything. That's what it's always about, folks. Lady Ayahuasca will reveal to you parts of yourself that you generally don't really want to look at. But she won't just fix them for you. As with everything else, it is up to you to apply the information to your life, and it is up to you to make the changes that have been recommended to you. You know, this journey is a solo journey, folks. We are on this path on our own completely. There is no one here who can walk your path for you. There may be people who can offer you guidance, but no one can lead you to where you need to be except for yourself. And very often it is our unwillingness to do this which creates all the problems in our lives. And it's our need to look for other people to guide us. It's our need for spiritual gurus to come along and lead us to safety, rather than realizing that all they can really offer you is words and perhaps gentle advice on how they achieve the journey themselves and how they manage to get where they have on their path. But ultimately, that is their path. You can't apply their path to your life and expect it to work. All you can do is maybe extract some gems of wisdom from it and learn how to apply yourself to your own path, because ultimately, that's what it's all about. This is an individual journey, and these plant medicines can very much help people taking this journey. As I said, ayahuasca is a very, very revealing medicine to take. It can be quite brutal and show you stuff about yourself that you really don't want to know. But once she's shown you that, she's quite okay with it. It doesn't matter if you messed up and did all these bad things. Now you know how it was and what you did, it's up to you to make the changes. And your reality can start right from this point. You can make changes in your life right now, and you can change the world that you're living in and change the path that you're on right now, and your life can begin right now. Anybody can make this choice, folks. It doesn't matter what you did. It matters what you do from this point forth, now that you know where these mistakes came from and know what the mistakes are that you made. And ultimately, most of the bad stuff we do, folks, unless we're psychopaths, generally it's from mistakes. It's from programming. It's from our simple non-comprehension or non-realization of what reality actually is. Now, when we're in this position, we tend to mess up. It's just a natural part of the human cycle, folks, and messing up is how we learn. We shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes. It's not bad making mistakes. Making mistakes is how you learn. It's when you refuse to learn from those mistakes and you don't apply these new understandings to the world that all the problems ensue. So don't be beating yourself up over messing up sometimes or whatever mistakes you may have made in your path. And don't be afraid to make mistakes, folks. Just be sure to learn from these mistakes and view them as the opportunities that they are. And plant medicines can very much help with this. And like, I have really seen some people have some absolutely amazing experiences on ayahuasca. I've seen people completely change their lives with just drinking once. They've only had to take the medicine once and they've made major changes in their lives. And anything can happen. You just never know what sort of an experience you're going to have. The problem is that many people read testimonials, they go online, they look at videos, they look at all sorts of things to prepare themselves for what their ceremony may be, because it's quite a scary thing for a lot of people. The whole thought of taking ayahuasca seems to be quite scary for a lot of people. It's a big step into another world for them. And so they tend to study up on it and look at testimonials from other people. And these testimonials tend to affect what their journey is, because they go in there with expectations. And you don't really know what to expect, folks, because you may get anything. She may take you in a completely different direction every time you drink. I have seen some incredible experiences, though. I saw one girl go into ceremony, and during the ceremony, all she could do was scream. She could not stop screaming, and she was disturbing the entire room. We took her out into the back room to try to get her to stop screaming and to find out what her problem was. And the issue was that she had connected with the spirits of the whales in the ocean, and she could feel the pain of the whales. She could feel what we were doing to them. She could hear their whale song in ceremony. And she only drank that once, and the next day she left the retreat and went to join Greenpeace and become an ocean activist and go out and save the whales. She figured that that's what her life path was. And she developed this incredible passion for it in ceremony. And she'd never even been an ocean person before that. She'd never been out on a boat. She was not someone that was into the oceans. But she just realized how much we needed to protect the life in the sea. And that's what she got from ceremony. She's changed her life, and now she works for Greenpeace. So you can have these incredible insights and these life paths unfold for you, and it may be something that is not what you expected at all. And I've seen this happen with more than one person during ayahuasca ceremonies. Another man came to stay at the retreat, very, very successful businessman, had worked his whole life and had created an amazingly abundant reality for himself, but all he did was work. That was what he did all the time. He came to ceremony, he drank once, and he realized that he had to stop working. He didn't need to work anymore. He was working for his family, but his family was missing out on him because he was working so much. He had all the money he needed to get through life, and so he went home, he sold all of his businesses, paid off all of his debts, and allowed his wife to pursue the art career she'd always wanted to pursue, and became a house husband. And I saw him online a couple of months ago, and he showed me his new business card, and it has father written on it. And I thought that was a wonderful thing as well. And that was another man who just drank once and said, "Oh my God, I've discovered my life's path," and went home the next day and changed his world. And by changing his world, he also changed the life of his entire family, and it changed it for the better. So you can achieve these incredible insights by communing with jungle medicines, folks. Another substance that is often used in the jungle and very much shares space with ayahuasca and other plant medicines is mupacha tobacco. Tobacco may seem like quite an evil thing for people, folks, but tobacco really is not an evil thing at all. It's actually quite a strong and healing medicine if used in the right way. The problem with tobacco is what the West has done to it. Of course, we've taken tobacco, we've refined it, we've added all sorts of toxic chemicals and carcinogens to it, and we've turned it into a cancer-causing agent when it is something very different when found in the jungle. The black mupacha tobacco that is found in the Amazon is a very, very healing and very protective medicine. It's also used to make certain varieties of snuff, known as rape, which is very much consumed in the forest and is very much used in conjunction with ayahuasca and other medicines. Rape can produce a state of almost instant meditation in people. It very much focuses the mind, puts one right in the now, and is very, very beneficial. It can be quite calming. Of course, it can be abused like any tobacco medicine. You can form a bit of a close relationship with it if you're not careful, and it can become something that you can abuse. But if used in the right way, it's a very, very productive and very healing and very calming, very grounding medicine to use. And I actually use rape quite often. I always use it in conjunction with ceremony. I also use it in conjunction with any kumbo ceremonies that I conduct as well. Kumbo, of course, is a different medicine altogether. Kumbo is frog venom. This is not exactly a plant medicine, folks, but it is a jungle medicine, and rapé is also very beneficial in kumbo ceremonies. You can actually get rapé online. You can buy it from certain places that will sell it to you. It's legal in all countries, as is kumbo, and it's something that I recommend people try. It may be a little bit like snorting pepper at first. It's a little bit of a shock to the system, but it can be very grounding and very revealing and a very, very healing medicine to use. And again, folks, it may seem strange to people to hear me talking about tobacco being a healing medicine of any kind, but the fact is that it is quite healing, folks. In fact, I know someone who smoked a mupacha cigarette in my house recently, and they found that their asthma cleared up. They had a bit of a tight chest because they're a smoker of tailor-made cigarettes, and they were looking for a cigarette, and I said, well, the only tobacco I've got is that mupacha maso roll there, which I can slice a little bit off the end, and you can roll yourself a cigarette if you want. And I did it, and as I said, it actually cleared their airways for them. So it is quite a healing medicine, and the rapé or shamanic snuff that is made from mupacha is a very, very healing and very, very grounding medicine that is often used in conjunction with other medicines during ceremony. You'll find mupacha at ayahuasca ceremonies always. You'll very often find it at Huachuma or San Pedro ceremonies. You'll find it during kumbo ceremonies. During ayahuasca, the shaman will smoke mupacha all the time, and they will blow the mupacha smoke over the other people in ceremony just to protect them from anything that may be around and just to clear anything that's in the room. They find smoke to be a very, very cleansing substance, and they use smoke in all of their rituals. It's really quite a sacred thing in the forest to use smoke for cleansing. But folks, I think we've reached break time now, so I have to leave it here for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. I'll be back to speak to you a little bit more in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned before the break, ayahuasca is the head of the female pantheon of plant spirits in the forest. The head of the male pantheon is Huachuma. And the Huachuma medicine is made from the San Pedro cactus. Many people just refer to this medicine as San Pedro, but the name of the spirit that inhabits the San Pedro cactus is Huachuma, and that is the male spirit, which you can commune with by consuming Huachuma. Huachuma is a very, very different medicine to ayahuasca. Traditionally, ayahuasca is taken during the nighttime, and Huachuma is taken during the daytime. Huachuma is not as visual as ayahuasca, but you can obtain some very, very deep personal insights from communing with this medicine. It's a very long journey. Ayahuasca is a journey which will last, the intense part will last possibly 2 hours, and then there will be probably 4 to 6 hours of leveling down to normal, whereas Huachuma will be 16 to 17 hours of being fully in the medicine. It's a slow build-up to a point, and then gradually, very, very gradually, will slow down from there. But it's about a 17-hour journey, so it's quite a all-day thing. You'll find that you'll traditionally drink Huachuma around about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and you'll still be feeling the effects at midnight that night. So it's not anything for the faint-hearted. But again, it's not as visual as ayahuasca, and it's not as debilitating as ayahuasca, in as much as you're able to move around. While you're in the Huachuma medicine, you're able to kind of wander around the hilltops and experience the forest and experience the sky and just experience reality quite comfortably, whereas during an ayahuasca ceremony, for the first couple of hours, you're generally going to be lying on your back with a blanket over you, having some quite intense visual experiences. So it is quite a different medicine. Both Huachuma and ayahuasca can, however, be very effective and very beneficial in helping people deal with addictions, such as alcohol or drug addictions. Perhaps not physical drug addictions, such as heroin addictions, but certainly with alcohol addictions, or perhaps someone who's got a little bit of a weed habit or something like that. It can be very, very beneficial in helping people look within themselves deep enough to see the damage they are doing to themselves by supporting these addictions. And very often you find that these addictions are the result of what are almost entities that have caught onto people, energetic forces that have a life of their own that are kind of clinging onto people and causing these addictions to continue and to maintain. I've had experiences in ayahuasca ceremonies where I've been purging, like vomiting from my mouth, but nothing's been coming out. But energy has been coming out, and I've felt like I was purging entities that were latched onto me. And that is also highly beneficial, and that can be experienced in both ayahuasca and Wachuma ceremonies. But if you really want to deal with an addiction completely and get rid of something like heroin addiction, there are also medicines such as iboga, which is considered to be the grandfather of plant medicines. Iboga is not found in South America, such as many of the other jungle medicines. It actually originates in Africa. But it is a very, very intense medicine, and the journey on iboga can last anywhere from 36 to 72 hours. And it is one that is certainly not for the faint-hearted. I haven't actually experienced an iboga ceremony myself. I just don't think I'm ready for it. And that's the thing. If you question whether you really want to do it or not, then you are not ready for it. And that's just the way it is with iboga. Iboga can completely immerse you into the spirit realm. And there have been people that have gone into iboga ceremonies with full-on heroin addictions and have come out of the ceremony 3 days later completely addiction-free and completely pain-free. They haven't gone through any of the withdrawal symptoms or anything that they would need to go through normally to combat a heroin addiction. And they're certainly not on methadone or any of the other incredibly debilitating drugs that the government will put you on under the pretext of curing you from your heroin addiction. Substances such as methadone are in fact far, far worse for the body than heroin, and it's absolutely ludicrous that the government would even consider putting people on such things when you've got a substance like iboga, which can effectively deal with addictions straight up with no harmful effects whatsoever. There's many people that have found cure for their addictions through iboga, and I believe there are several iboga retreats around the world. I believe there's quite a reputable one in Ecuador and in other places around the world. So if you are someone who is suffering from addiction, or you know someone who is, then I would highly recommend looking into the benefits of iboga. The other medicine that I am very familiar with, and one that I serve myself, is the one that I mentioned earlier, and that is Kambo, which is the frog venom. I have developed a particular relationship with this medicine. I found it to be incredibly healing when I had a Kambo ceremony a couple of years ago. I'd had meningitis about 12 months previously, very, very debilitating illness, and meningitis takes a very, very long time for you to recover from. And after having it for like a year, you kind of forget that you've got this illness, and it just becomes your new normal. And I just thought, well, I'm getting old, I'm run down, that's just the way it is. And then I did a Kambo ceremony, and the amount of healing I got from it was so profound that I actually had to go and learn how to serve this medicine. It's an absolutely amazing medicine, but it is not a pretty medicine to serve. It doesn't give you visuals or deep insights the way ayahuasca or Wachuma does, although it can be. There are some people who do have incredible visual experiences on Kambo. I've actually had someone have incredible visual experiences on it just in the last week that I've been serving it. But generally, it's actually very purgative, causes you very often to swell up like a frog and to really vomit your stomach out for 30 or 40 minutes. That's really what it's about. It's about cleaning toxins out of your body. And it's really a remarkable medicine. It comes from a frog, which is actually the most toxic frog in the rainforest, a giant green tree frog. And when I say giant, this is actually quite a small frog, folks, but for green tree frogs, it's quite big. So it's referred to as the giant green tree frog, even though it's really just a normal-sized frog. But it's quite a toxic venom and a very, very potent venom. And what it does, folks, you actually burn holes in people's skin and you scrape off the epidermis to expose the dermis, and you pack the venom straight onto the dermis, which puts the venom directly into the lymph system of the body, directly into the muscular system. It goes into the muscular system and it bonds with the dioxins and heavy metals that you've got in your body, and it pulls them into your bloodstream, and your immune system kind of freaks out at that point and drops it all into your stomach, and you purge the whole lot up. It's very, very intense. It can be an extremely uncomfortable experience, but it's very, very invigorating and will supercharge your immune system. I haven't seen anybody who's done a combo ceremony who hasn't come away with very, very beneficial results. It's actually quite a remarkable story how combo was discovered as well. It was the Kachinawa tribe who discovered the medicine. This has actually been debated by many people. You'll hear that it was the Mutsis who discovered it, but it was actually the Kachinawa tribe. And what happened was there were six villagers who were very, very sick, and the shaman and the medicine man of the villagers could not find a cure for the illness that was ailing all of their villagers. So they all got together and they drank ayahuasca, and they asked the spirit of the plant for guidance on how they could heal the sickness in all of their villages. And all six shaman had visions, and when they sat down the next day to integrate their ceremony and discuss their visions with each other, each one had a little piece of the puzzle, and they discovered through combining all of their six visions together that they had to go into the forest, they had to find the giant green tree frog, had to be very, very careful and very respectful to the frog, be careful not to hurt the frog. And they are, folks, they are very, very respectful of these frogs. They carry around with them like they're pets. They kind of hang off their shoulders and off their belts, and they're very, very friendly with these frogs. They developed a real relationship with them. But they were informed in the medicine that they had to go and find this frog. They had to tie the frog down, they had to tickle it and collect the venom from the skin of the frog. Then they had to get their villagers, each member of the village who was sick, had to drink a lot of water, and then they would burn holes in their arms or in their legs, and they would pack the frog venom onto the holes and pack it into their lymph system. And if they did this, it would heal the people of all of their illnesses. This is what they were told during their ayahuasca ceremony. So it seemed strange to them, but they went and they collected the frog, and they performed this ceremony with their villagers, and they cured all the people in all the villages of the mystery illness that was ailing them all. And that's how the medicine was discovered. It was actually given to them during the ceremony and delivered to them via the spirit of the ayahuasca plant. So that is quite a remarkable insight in itself, and it's quite a remarkable way for shaman or medicine men to discover where these medicines in the forest lie. I think it's really profound, folks, when people hear these stories and they see the result that comes from them. It is. It's quite remarkable that they should gain such insights and know how to go and do this. I mean, who would think to go and get this most toxic venom in the rainforest and burn holes into your skin and pack the venom into the holes? Who would think of doing that? It's not something that anyone would think of doing. It's the same as combining the kapi vine with the shikuna leaves. How would they know that there was this MOI inhibitor in the kapi vine? How would they know there was a spirit, a female spirit in the kapi vine that would guide them through ceremony? How would they know the medicine would work? And it's not exactly a pleasant medicine to drink, folks. It's not something that you're going to make and think, well, let's drink this for fun. It isn't like that. It tastes absolutely terrible. And the ceremonies that you experience in ayahuasca, these are ceremonies that have you lying flat on your back. It isn't like you drink ayahuasca and go out and party on the town or anything. These aren't these sorts of medicines. So it's remarkable that they would have had the insights to come up with these things and to discover them in the first place. And that's what I mean about the danger of these medicines being lost, folks. You know, if we destroy the rainforest and we destroy this ancient knowledge, we're likely to never get it back. And it's very, very important that we keep the old ways and that we merge the old ways with the new ways, because that is how reality progresses forward in a coherent manner. You know, back in 2009, I put out a film called The Awakening. And in that film, I mentioned the need to combine the old ways with the new ways. You know, if you look at how reality functions and you look at how everything functions, you look at how everything grows, everything follows the sacred spiral. Everything follows Fibonacci sequence. And if you look at Fibonacci sequence, it's a number sequence which happens by combining the present with the past to create the future. That's the way it works, and that's what we also need to do in life. We need to combine the present with the past to create a viable future. And with what we're doing in the present, you know, with the technological world we've created, we tend to let our egos get in the way, and we sometimes think that because we have this technology, because we have plasma screen TVs and mobile phones and microchips and all the things we have, that we are more advanced or more sophisticated than those that have come before us, but it's really not true. Some of the medicines that we've lost by allowing ourselves to become so disconnected from the earth have been absolutely horrendous, folks. It really has been sad to see so many old ways being lost. You know, imagine if we could remove this stagnation that we have through the political system, how the political system has outlawed all of these things and told us we're not allowed to use these medicines, we're not allowed to expand our consciousness in any way, we're only allowed to do what rules that they allow us to do, we're only allowed to do the stuff that they write down on paper. All of this stuff has been very, very detrimental to the human experience, folks, but if we were able to use these medicines and combine this knowledge with our technological ways, imagine what we could come up with. Imagine the reality we could create if we were open enough to really want to be human in what we do. Now, there's so much of this world now which is leading us down this transhumanist pathway, this pathway of merging us with machines because we somehow think it's going to be better if we give up our humanity and merge ourselves with this technology that we're creating. We don't realize how locked down we are and how much inner technology we have, but we're just not using. You know, the fact that our pineal is so closed down, the experiences you can have in ceremony, folks, when you see the connections that you can have to the spirit realm, the connections you can have to the plant realm, the connections you can have to the animal realm, I mean, the connections you have to this earth that you live on, when you really discover these connections and experience them, then you see that this inner technology already exists. We don't need this clunky metal silicon technology that we're being submerged into. It is not beneficial for us. It only seems beneficial to people because they haven't experienced any of the inner technology. Quite often people simply don't believe it to be possible. They think this is all New Age mumbo jumbo. Very often people are also blinded by religion. I had someone post on one of my threads the other day how evil and satanic I was because I was promoting meditation as a way of healing yourself and getting to know yourself. These people are literally scared of meditation because apparently it says in the Catholic version of the Bible that you shouldn't meditate. Folks, the Bible taught meditation up until the 4th century. Jesus meditated all the time. This was quite common practice until the Catholic Church took it out of the Bible. So if the Catholic Church tells you you shouldn't meditate, then I can guarantee that one thing you should do in life is meditate. And if people think meditation is satanic, then I'm sorry, you have your head firmly implanted up your rectum and you are so brainwashed that you are probably someone that is not even worth bothering to try and save because you are so self-programmed and so brainwashed and you are so much your own worst enemy that your cause is probably already lost. And that's what I think about people who think meditation is evil. I think these people are complete fools and very much part of the problem. No, it really does make me wonder, folks, what has happened to this species and how far from the track we've gone. You know, how much we've lost connection with ourselves. When people will view the earth and things that exist in the earth and sacred medicines that exist in the earth, when people will view these things as satanic simply because a Roman control book tells them that they should think that way. It's absolutely remarkable what religion has done to people's minds and how much it has disconnected them. And it's remarkable how many people will sit there and complain about the world while doing nothing about it and sitting there waiting to be saved by someone who's going to descend from heaven to save them, even though they're not even worth saving because they've never bothered to take responsibility for their own lives or tried to save anything around them for themselves. It really is very frustrating to see this, folks. But unfortunately, it's just the way many people are, because it's the way many people have been programmed into being. The fact is that all of these things can be beneficial, folks. They really can. Even with religion, there's even gems of wisdom in religion. Of course there is. There's so much truth in all religions, but there's also so many lies. There's so much that's been put in there to disempower people and to enslave people to the words of the book, rather than allowing people to discover themselves completely. And you're not going to find self-discovery anywhere but in the self, folks. That's the thing. That's why they call it self-enlightenment and self-discovery. You won't discover yourself in any book or in any teachings of anybody. You'll only discover yourself in yourself. And that's what many of these plant medicines can do. It's what many jungle medicines can help you with. And like I said, folks, if we were to merge these things with our technology, imagine what we could come up with. Imagine if we were free to use these medicines to expand our mind. Imagine if when conducting business deals, people sat down and did an ayahuasca ceremony with their business partners, whichever corporations were merging. They sat down and did a Wachuma or ayahuasca ceremony together. Things would probably go in a very positive direction from that point. But of course they won't, because people are so concerned about the bottom line. They're so concerned with the business model. You know, people have superimposed economics over life, and that has been a real problem. And that is why we've seen such an incredible amount of destruction in the world, because of people's willingness to do that. People put a dollar value to everything. They don't understand anything unless it's in a dollar value. There's even a whole bunch of olive trees destroyed in Gaza a couple of weeks ago by Israeli forces, and no one really comprehended it until they said $10 million worth of olive trees were destroyed. And then everyone went, wow, that's a lot of olive trees, because they're able to put a dollar value on it. But you can't put a dollar value on things, folks. It's not about that. It's not about the economic worth of something. It's about the virtuous value of something. What is something worth in virtue points? What is something worth in its goodness and its necessity in being there? How much benefit we can have from having it there? That's how things should be valued, not by their economic value. You know, we tend to put this economic model and superimpose it over everything, and that's what's caused so many of the problems. That's what's disconnected ourselves from nature. That's what's disconnected us from everything that we should be connected to. It was because we put this economic value over everything, and we view everything from an economic standpoint. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a program. We have to stop running this program, folks. We really do. It's highly detrimental. It doesn't get us anywhere, and it's caused so much of the damage that we see in the world today. And that, to me, is another good insight that comes from jungle medicines, is that people tend to lose their connection to the economic model. They see that it's really been a big joke. It's just been a facade. It's just this thing that's been pulled in front of our minds to blind us to reality. And that's what it is. And that's what many of these jungle medicines can help you discover as well. And I've just scratched the surface today as well, folks. I've gone through some of the more well-known jungle medicines, but there are many other ones. Another tobacco medicine that I failed to mention is Sananga, which is quite a remarkable medicine as well, again, made from Mopacha tobacco. And these are eye drops, and that may sound very strange to people, putting tobacco eye drops in your eyes, and yes, it does burn very, very much. It's actually quite extreme, putting tobacco eye drops in your eyes, but it very much cleans your eyes. It removes a layer of callus from the front of your eyes. I found that I didn't have to wear glasses quite as much once I'd put Sananga in my eyes. And it also very much improves your vision. It decalcifies your pineal, and it completely cleans out all of your sinuses. Actually quite a remarkable experience as well. Very painful, folks, putting tobacco eye drops in your eyes. It's actually so painful that you have no other choice but to relax into the pain, because there's no way to make it go away because it's your eyes. It only lasts for a minute or two, but it is very intense, and it's actually quite liberating just being able to submerse yourself into it and allow the medicine to do its work. And when it has done its work, the results are, again, quite remarkable. But many of these jungle medicines can be highly beneficial, folks, as can meditation, despite what many Christians will have you believe. But I highly recommend that if anyone is thinking of experimenting with these medicines, and they should do so, I really do urge people to get involved if they're even thinking of it, because I think these things are highly beneficial. Again, they're not for everybody. Of course, if you've got some sort of problems going on, if perhaps you're schizophrenic or you're on medication or you've got some sort of weird things going on, well, perhaps these are not the medicines for you. But I haven't found anybody who has had their life change for the worse from being involved in these medicines. Everybody that I've found has had a great deal of insights come to them, and their life has only ever changed for the better. It may not seem like it was the better if looked at from the parameters afforded to us by society, but if looked at it according to the parameters that are given to us by life, then it looks a lot better to me. I found a lot of people connect with themselves, and that is very important, folks, because that is one thing that this society teaches us to do, or programs us to do, is to become disconnected. Very often unbeknownst to ourselves, but that's the problem with a lot of what we see in the world today, folks, is people are disconnected and they're unbonded. People really do not have any real knowledge of themselves, and so they are not able to navigate their way through life with any degree of stability. They may find economic stability, and it isn't until they get to the later years of their life that they realize that that wasn't really what it was all about. It was really about discovering themselves, and very often they find that they missed that part of the journey. They may have all the economic worth that they need and all the money that they want in the bank, but now that they're old, they can't really do much with it, and it doesn't really mean that much at all. And what they failed to accumulate or discover along the way was knowledge of themselves, and that is always a very sad thing to see. But folks, I think we're getting very close to the end of the show here, so I may have to leave the discussion of jungle medicines there. I hope I provided a little bit of insight into these medicines for people today. Probably a little bit of an off-the-wall show for people to have tuned into here. No political talk today, folks. No talk of Palestine or Israel or Donald Trump or anything like that. Just a discussion on plant medicines. And I think that's just from the week of serving combo that I've just done. And because I think that it's important for people to look at these things, I think some incredible insights can be gained from these medicines. So thank you for joining me and listening to all this today. It's been actually quite a pleasure to change topics and shift direction a little bit and bring it back to reality a little bit for everybody. So I have enjoyed talking about these things, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. But yeah, we'll have to leave it here, folks. For anybody who is thinking of coming and visiting me anywhere in the next year, folks, I will be speaking at the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia between the 7th and the 9th of April. I'm actually speaking on the 7th, so get there early. If you're thinking about coming, it's a great gig. I'm also speaking in California at a gig called Regeneration. And if you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, you'll find a banner for that on the website. Very limited seating in that, folks. There's only about room for 90 people, I think. So you want to get in there early and get a ticket if you're thinking of coming to that. That's being held at Bears Paw Lake, I think, or Big Bear Lake, something like that. It's in California anyway, near Joshua Tree. And that is on either the 22nd or 23rd of April. As I said, you'll find a banner on my website. I'm also speaking in a gig called Rock the Farm in Ohio on May 5th. And then I'm traveling to England to speak at Ian Crane's AB8 gig, which is being held at Horwood House in the Midlands, and that is in May 20th. And that's a very good gig, folks. There's only about 20 seats left for that one as well, so I would get in there and get a seat for that while you can. Ian does put on really good gigs. I very much look forward to Ian Crane's gigs in England when I'm invited to speak there. And again, this will be the last tour that I'm doing for at least a year or two, folks. Perhaps the last one. Who knows whether I will even want to travel again after taking some time off. But I intend to go home next year, and I'm not going to be traveling at all in 2018. I am booked to do the Anacapulco conference next year in February. I believe there may also be a gig in Ireland in March next year, but that will be the last gig that I'm doing. This will be the last tour that I do for quite some time. So if you have ever thought about coming and saying hello, now is the time to do it, and I hope to see you at one of these gigs. Of course, later in the year, I will also be speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen, but I'll keep you informed about what's going on there a little bit further down the track. As I said, folks, this is going to be a very long tour. I've actually started in February this year, and I won't be finishing until February or March next year. I've got a whole bunch of stuff I need to do in Europe as well. And so it's going to be a very big year, but I will get as many radio shows out to you as can. I mean, I should be able to keep the shows going pretty well regularly. There may be a couple of weeks where I'm not to be seen, but I should be able to keep them up pretty regularly throughout the year while I'm traveling. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to everybody who supports the website. Thank you to everybody who contributes to the Patreon account. I really cannot thank you people enough. You are the only thing that is keeping this show on the air and is keeping me alive at the moment. So thank you very much for that. And if you can afford to make a couple of dollars contribution a month, folks, it would be wonderful. There is a link to the Patreon account on my website, and there will also be a link at the bottom of the YouTube version of this radio show. But that's it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.